WTBQ.
Hello and welcome to A Marriage Conversation. This is the show that happens here on WTBQ, the first Thursday of each month from 12 to 1 with Dr. Stephen Frew. Dr. Frew is a marriage coach, a speaker, and an author of With These Rings and From Marginal to Magnificent. And as I said, this is Dr. Frew's Marriage Conversation show. You can visit him at marriageconversation.com. And you can also visit him through here through WTBQ. And I want to welcome Dr. Frew to his show today, Marriage Conversations. Hi, Dr. Frew. How are you?
Good morning. Good afternoon. How are you, Shannon? It's a wonderful day here in California. And I was just thinking, if New York and California were people and they were married, New York would be the woman.
Oh.
Because it's always cold over there.
That's very funny. Are all women cold? Is that it? Yes, we are.
I was in the park the other day, and a woman was standing there with her arms wrapped around herself, and her husband was in a T-shirt. And I said, you look cold. And she says, I'm always cold.
Yes, well, I think that is pretty much true. Most women are always cold, except for certain times in their lives, but we won't go there. But you're right. If New York and California married, it would probably be an interesting marriage because they are very different. Do different people do well in a marriage? I mean, this is always a big question. Right.
Well, I think so. I think the perfect marriage is one in which there's the largest number of individual differences, and they have the possibility, they have the competency, I should say, to know how to address those differences and live and honor those differences, and to have conflict around those differences that leads to further intimacy. And marriage is a learning community, and if you think of it that way, then you don't want a matching sweatshirt partner who just mirrors everything that you say or think or do because it's boring.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I think that is a great new paradigm for a marriage because so many people want to marry someone exactly like themselves and are very upset when that person disagrees with them or thinks different because they're sure that that makes for a lousy marriage. But you do have to have the talent and the maybe not even the talent, you have to have the willingness to deal with those incompetencies with each other, right? Or not incompetencies, but individual differences.
Individual differences. I think that would be one definition of love. Mm-hmm. If I say that I love my wife, it means that I can see who she is. There's seven principles in the book about what the seven basic needs are. One of them is I can see her, and I don't judge her or blame her or condemn her or criticize her or analyze her, but I have an attitude of learning. Who is this woman that has shown up in my bed night after night miraculously for the last 100 years now, and what is it that I know about her and what don't I know about her? If I have an attitude of curiosity, I have an attitude of intimacy.
Uh-huh. Oh, I like that. I wish every man would listen to you because, and maybe every woman as well. I know so many people who are very upset with their spouses because they are not exactly the way they want them to be, and they need to form them to their thinking as opposed to allowing them to be who they are, the individual who they are, which is it's not the norm in our country. We tell our children to marry someone like themselves, as opposed to someone, right, don't we, for the most part?
Yes. Yeah. And the social settings, kind of lean that way as well, so that we don't actually formalize an arranged marriage, but actually we do a lot of arranged marriages unconsciously, I think, so that the number of choices are limited for a lot of young people. They don't, unless they have great courage to go out into the world and to meet all kinds of people and make their own decisions about the kind of partner that they really want to work with. Because marriage is a partnership, and like forming a business, I need to know that I really want to work with you. If we're going to run a printing shop or something, I don't need to form a partnership with you just because you have some cash. I need to form a partnership with you because I've done my vetting of you, and I can see that you'd be a good partner.
Yeah, you know, when we talk about, you know, people getting married for the first time, you're involved in a new book about weddings and marriages. Is the paradigm slightly shifting? Certainly the world is shifting. I look at my daughter, her classmates are all different. We are not the same. If they date, they don't care if they come from different backgrounds as much as 20, 30, 40 years ago. So do you think that the new generation is coming up with some of this new paradigm?
Well, I don't think they're coming up with a new paradigm, but I think that what they're doing is they're segueing into quite a bit more freedom. I just had a client that returned from the East Coast, and she said, "My God, the people on the East Coast are stiff." And I said, "Well, you try London." And we laughed about it, and I said, you know, well, people come to California to get away from the people in the East Coast and their families and so forth. They come for a new life. They come for new ideas. They come for a lot of stuff. And I think that whole idea of going westward is a psychological idea as well as physical, and that a lot of young people all around the world are beginning to say, wait a minute, the stuff that we've been raised with is not my stuff. And I'm going to give myself more personal freedom to explore what I want in a relationship than that stuff that my parents wanted me to have.
Mm, and I
do think that's happening.
Yeah, good.
Yes.
I'm glad to hear that, because we certainly, and you know, I don't know about the difference really between the East and West Coast, but I do think because, if nothing else, because it's colder here, people tend to stay indoors more, so they tend to stay amongst themselves, where in California there's an easier freedom just of living. So that might,
all the time, yeah.
Yeah, that might, you know, lend to a different freedom. I mean, I notice it different from living in Manhattan than living outside of it, where everybody in Manhattan's apartments are so small, they're outside all the time. So they mingle more amongst people, which makes us a little bit more understanding of different types of people. And I think that's the same in California, at least
yeah,
one
I,
of
I,
the aspects.
I think that's correct. And part of the idea of today's show was... it comes from, you know, we're talking about writing down your marriage today, and I, mm-hmm. and part of that, I've talked with a number of people about it out here, and they say, well, that's an unusual, and we have a wonderful guest, everybody, a wonderful guest. Just make sure that you get your friends on the phone right away, I mean on the radio right away, because we have a wonderful guest in Marcia Meyer, and you're going to enjoy her. She's full of life, and you know, I just met her recently, and I was in love for 5 minutes with her. She's in love with somebody else, but she's terrific, and she's jumping into this conversation with both feet in a few minutes. So call your friends and tell them to get on the radio. The idea of the show was that an awful lot of married couples, whether they're in their 20s, I talk to couples in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s, and I have a couple in their 70s that just came in last year for coaching, and they're working very hard on their marriage. They're working hard to wake it up. They both are alive people in their 70s, both have made a lot of money in their lives, and both of them want much more intimacy and much more vitality than they have. Now, that's a wonderful sign for me. Now, the idea of the show has to do with what can you do to wake up your marriage? What can you do that will give new information, new ideas, new energy, a new mix to the "Hi, honey, I'm home" thing? And that's what we're really trying to do with this. And we have some great ideas today to share with those couples out there who are listening. So I don't know when our break time is, Shannon, but I just want to make sure I got a plug in so that those people who love their married friends would call them and say, get on this station, because this is going to be a good one.
Well, let's give out the number. It's 845-651-1110. So give us a call and talk to us and talk to Dr. Stephen Frew and your guest today, who is Marcia Meyer. And she is a writer. She has written a new book, or I don't know how new the book is, but certainly she has written a book, and the book is called Navigating the Rough Waters of Today's Publishing World. Great title. Critical Advice for Writers from Industry Insiders. Marcia Meyer is a writer. She is a teacher. She is many things, and she's going to help you today. You know, this is a great idea to write down your story of your marriage, because we all have a story. And I've heard it being said many a time, to write down your story, you see it very clearly. But most of the time, our marriage is in our life story. But to take our marriage as a story makes us look at it very separately for the pros and the cons it is, and also the story that we tend to tell ourselves. When we write it down, we start to see where the flaws are, right? And you say write it down without blame, without looking for, you know, he did this, she did that sort of thing, and without solutions, but to look at it as the story you tell yourself. What is the benefit of doing that?
Well, I'll tell you, the way I look at it is there are many, 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 many stories within the story of your marriage. And all of those stories Some of them are retold frequently. Some of them aren't mentioned. So the first thing you'd notice is, why is this story never mentioned? Is it just insignificant, or am I afraid to talk about these things in this story, or was there too much pain, or was there too much joy and I don't think we can get there again, or whatever the reasons are, if you get a hold of a story or a piece of a story, you'll start to see your relationship with your partner differently. Now, Marcia and I have a friend. The way we met was through a friend who's an elegant, wonderful, lovely lady. Shannon, you'd love her. Her name is Gerd Giordano up in Santa Barbara. She was Santa Barbara Woman of the Year last year. She is a woman who gives and gives and gives and helps all kinds of nonprofit stuff and just is that kind of person that we all are happy she's on the planet. And so Gerd was talking about writing down her story, which is really full of a lot of drama. And Marcia encouraged her and gave her some really good tips, and I encouraged her from the other side as a friend who could encourage her, and now she's begun. Now, I believe that as she does that, that story will actually change, that the story she has in her head as she writes it will start to open up, will start to get richer and fuller, and she'll say, gee, I wrote that, it's not the way I remembered it, and she'll start to look at her life as a living organism rather than a story that happened long ago.
Right.
So we want couples to do that. I'm going to tell the audience's story as soon as we get Marcia on the air. She's online waiting for us. As soon as we get her on, I'm going to tell a story that will get us started, that'll give you an idea of what I mean. So go ahead and introduce Marcia.
Okay, well, we already kind of said everyone about Marcia. Marcia Meyer is an award-winning writer, teacher, published poet, and former director of the Santa Barbara Writers Conference. As I said, she has written a book. She's the author of Navigating the Rough Waters of Today's Publishing World. Great title, great book. And now we want to welcome Marcia Meyer to Marriage Conversations. How are you today, Marcia?
Oh, I'm fine, and thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, thank you for being with us. I'm sure you will. Can you hear us? Are you having a tough time?
Yes, I can hear you.
You can.
No, I can hear you.
You can. Okay, good. We can hear you perfectly fine. So you are coming through terrifically. And you.
Perfect.
Go ahead, Stephen.
Well, I was just going to say, Marcia said, well, you know, I'm not an expert on marriage, and when I asked her, and she was very generous and very gracious and willing to be on the show, I felt like I might have to twist her arm, but she said she could and would, and I'm happy that she can be. The thing is that you don't have to be an expert on marriage to catch this idea, because this is what Marcia teaches every day. I'll let her talk about that, but she teaches people how to write and how to capture their ideas and how to, you know, that idea of the dream catcher that the Indians used. They had a net above their bed, and she teaches them how to use that net to capture their ideas and their stories. And so I'm anxious to hear her advice for people who want to start writing. I want to encourage the audience that we want them to send their stories to us, Stephen@marriageconversation.com. I want them to send their stories. We will pick the best story and read it on the air. We have a lot of possibilities for this idea. So, Marcia, talk a little bit about your work and what you bring to the show here. So introduce yourself that way.
Great. Thank you. Well, again, it's absolutely delightful to be with you and Shannon, Stephen, and thank you for bringing me on today. You know, I am a huge believer in writing as a way to sort through feelings, discover things about yourself, discover things about your partner. It is absolutely, it's a powerful, powerful tool for self-discovery. And one of the things I recommend to everybody I work with is to journal every day, to start out your morning or end your evening with 15 minutes with a journal and just write down your thoughts, what happened to you during the day, how things went, if they, you know, didn't go the way you wanted them to, what could have been done differently. And when it comes to your marriage, you can do the same thing. You can, and Stephen, you're probably familiar with the Catholic Church's Marriage Encounter program.
Yes.
They use this same kind of tool of writing to each other to help couples either come back together in the case of marriage encounter, or in the case of kids who are engaged, they do an engaged encounter weekend as well. And what they do is they have a series of prompts, of questions that they ask the couple to take their journals and go into separate rooms and spend some time thinking about how what their philosophy and beliefs are around that. And especially for engaged couples, it's things like what are your beliefs about money and things that, you know, typically a lot of times people who are entering marriage don't think much about. What are your feelings about children and all of those kind of basic things? And then they have the couple come back together and exchange their journals and talk about their responses. And writing to yourself can often give you the freedom to say things, to respond, to write things from deep inside that sometimes you don't even know you believe. And then it opens the door for you to express that. And then in coming back together, to communicate it to your partner and have a conversation about it. And Stephen, it occurred to me, I was looking through your books, and especially in Marginal to Magnificent, almost any one of those coaching sections where you offer a bunch of questions, a couple could take those and essentially do their own marriage encounter by using those questions and sharing their responses.
Yes, that's right. That's right. In fact, at workshops, we've actually done that. Some of those questions were actually given to me by people in the audience who were working, you know, hard to kind of get... The idea there, you know, Marcia, is that what marriage is in need of, what most of us are in need of, whether you're trying to write a novel or whether you're trying to be a better spouse, we need some new ideas. You know, I'm as guilty as everybody else on the planet. I can walk in, say, "Hi, honey, what's for dinner?" And that's okay on certain days, but it doesn't really ignite much energy or much interest between us. And when I write, I always have a stack of books around that I'm reading. I usually go to the beach for 3 or 4 days, but I also get on the phone with good friends and I have little conversations. And inevitably, those conversations will trigger something because my friend will tell me a story, what's happening. And they say, "Oh, you won't believe what's just happened to me." And they don't think of it as a story, but they tell me this event. And that stimulates something in me, and I'm writing like mad when they're talking to me. And then I kind of hibernate and take a bunch of stuff and let that juice kind of wake me up and get me going in the direction I was going in. So, I agree with you. Those questions can be used that way as a way. And the other thing is that we tend to be repetitive in our arguments or repetitive in our disappointments. We tend to really, really know how much you disappoint me or what you didn't do or what I always do or whatever. And that kind of, in my mind, is a dumbing down of relationship. And I want to break those habits in myself and say, I don't give a hoot if you didn't put the dishes in the dishwasher. What I care about is why you looked so tired as you were putting the dishes in the sink. And then if I can get my hands around that, I can say to you, "Hey, honey, you look kind of tired. Are you okay?" And then another conversation can open. Well, if I'm writing, that's much more likely to happen because I have a little distance from the action, so I can start to feel my love and my empathy for my partner more than I can if I'm standing in the kitchen and the dishes are piled in the sink.
So. Yeah, Marcia, I have a question. Idea. Marcia, can you hear me? I have a question for you.
Yes.
When Stephen introduced you and he said, you know, you're here on the marriage show, and you said, or he had said that you had said you were not an expert on marriage, what would you say to someone who said the same thing to you about writing, that I'm not an expert on writing? How would they get to that point to be able to write something down?
That's a good question.
That's a great question, Shannon. And in fact, I think almost everybody that has hesitation around writing feels that they can't write, that they aren't a writer. And so, like, there's some kind of, metal that goes around our necks when we're writing. Anybody can write. Anybody can write. And really, all it takes is a prompt. And as Stephen mentioned with our friend Gerd, you know, what I suggested to her was, Gerd, think of a happy time from your childhood and then just describe that theme. What did your home look like? What did, you know, what was in it? How, describe it with your five senses. And just in that process, you can put yourself back into the time, and you'd be surprised how many things come out.
So
anybody can do that.
Anybody can do that.
And start to write about a time.
So we don't have to be an expert on it. We don't have to feel that our marriage was perfect. We don't have to feel that we have something so great to say. Because what I'm hearing is that when you kind of get to the actual practice of writing it down, you will have more to say than you think you have to say, right?
Oh, absolutely. You'll be so surprised at the things that come up.
Yeah, and you have to trust that, you know, we are all... Two things you should know about yourself, everybody listening. You're a natural observer.
Mm-hmm.
Just write that down somewhere if you're in the car or wherever. You're a natural observer, and you're a natural learner. You learned to walk. Imagine that. And you learned to talk. Those are two of the most complex things a human being can be asked to learn. You learned them naturally. Now, you're also a natural observer because you observed the people around you. You're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You have children, grandchildren. You watch them observe. You're a natural observer. Now, you observed, so what you want to do is turn around and look at yourself and say, man, I know a lot I don't even know I know. And if I can start, like Marcia's saying, she gave this nice little thing. Well, go in the room of your home when you were young, and what did it smell like, and what did it look like? What colors were there? How did it feel to be in that room? Don't edit. Just start writing down. Well, you know, the wallpaper. Wow, I forgot it had wallpaper. Well, the wallpaper had a musty smell to it, and you start writing, and then the other self takes over. Not this conscious, critical, adult, appropriate self. This self that lives underneath that self or within that self that doesn't care if you're appropriate, doesn't care if you get an A or a B or a C, and that self starts to write just the way she wants to or he wants to write. Once that starts happening, then you're on the way to writing your stories. Now, the stories in the marriage, you can kind of cluster them. You can think of it. You could say, think of conflicts you've had, recurring conflicts, and pick one and write a story of that conflict. Not an analysis or diagnosis of your partner, just a story of the conflict. This is how the fight about money buying the new TV occurred. It was on a Saturday and it was raining. And you start to write that story. Just let it come. Nobody wins, nobody loses. You just let that story come. And when the story's out of gas, put it aside and think of another one about a moment of great joy or a moment of great challenge, physical sickness or something like that. And the stories will, I'll tell you, you'll have more stories you could possibly handle if you trust what Marcia's saying about just get it down to the simple nuts and bolts.
Get it down to the feelings and the things
I
you remember.
Even it's all. Yeah, it's all about observing, as you said, and noticing. And so say I'm writing about that childhood home that Stephen just mentioned, and I'm describing it, and then all of a sudden my mother shows up. And then I can look at her and see her from, you know, when I was five, and maybe I notice that she's tired or haggard looking, or, you know, pretty soon we start to understand things about the people in our lives as well that we didn't know before.
Hmm.
Another good thing to do is put yourself in that person's place and write from their perspective.
Oh, what a great idea.
And you'll be surprised how much will come up for you if you can put yourself in your partner's place and write from his perspective or her perspective.
That's a great idea.
The incident or the story.
We have to take a break. I want to explore that idea because I think that will really open up
very
so
nice
much
idea,
about a marriage.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful idea. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about marriage and marriage conversations with Dr. Stephen Frew and Marcia Meyer. And we'll be back here in just a few on WTBQ.
Are you worried about your finances during retirement? Are you struggling to make your monthly payment? If you are 62 years or older, own a home, and need extra money, please listen carefully to this important announcement. You may be eligible for a government-insured reverse mortgage that turns your home equity into tax-free cash. There's no credit check or income requirement. Best of all, you still own your home and have no more monthly mortgage payment except for taxes and insurance. You can use the money for healthcare expenses, home improvements, and for your retirement. Get the facts about reverse mortgages. Call 1-800-297-8107. Call today to find out how much you may qualify for by using our free calculator. Reverse Helpline is not a lender or broker, but an independent free service for homeowners 62 and over. There's nothing to buy, and the call is free. 1-800-297-8107. Call today to find out how much you may qualify for. 1-800-297-8107.
Looking for a dependable used car from a local dealer who is there for you beyond the sale? At Dawson Motors, Bill Dawson is an expert mechanic, and he personally selects cars, trucks, and SUVs for sale that he feels are of the highest quality. Pamper domestic and import cars and trucks proud to wear the Dawson Motors name tag. Looking for a particular make or model? Bill will search and find just what you are looking for. After the sale, Dawson Motors is there for the care and repair to keep your car on the road and looking good for years to come. Need a car for your teenage driver, a second car, or a dependable daily commuting vehicle? Come to Dawson Motors for a large selection of qualified cars, always at great prices with easy financing available. Dawson Motors, they're not just a used car lot, they're a family business with quality car sales and expert car repair. A part of the community for over 28 years. Call 986-8558 or go to DawsonMotors.com. Dawson Motors at the corner of Route 17A and 94 in Warwick. Where can you find a pharmacy that's capable of handling the healthcare needs of everyone in your family, including your pets? Apple Valley Pharmacy. They specialize in custom compounding, preparing medicines to suit your special needs. Owner and pharmacist Anne Clotier offers veterinary compounding too. You'll also find homeopathic remedies, vitamins, and dietary supplements. It's Apple Valley Pharmacy for Yankee Candles, school supplies, greeting cards, Kodak photo processing, Burt's Bees personal care items, Russell Stover candies, and healthy snacks too. Open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. till 7 p.m. and Saturdays till 5. Call 988-5805 or click on applevalleypharmacy.com. Apple Valley Pharmacy with 24-hour emergency prescription services. A family-friendly pharmacy that delivers free to all the hamlets of Warwick. Apple Valley Pharmacy in the Merchant Square Mall in Warwick.
Experience the Gazillion Bubble Show. The next generation. Be dazzled by new spellbinding lasers, spectacular lighting effects, and awesome displays of bubble artistry. Time Out New York gives it 4 stars. Regis Philbin says, spectacular, unlike anything you've ever seen before. The New York Times calls it enchanting. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience that will blow you away. Smile, laugh, and feel like a kid again. David Letterman calls it the world's greatest bubble show. Gazillion Bubble Show. The next generation is an unbelievable extravaganza unlike anything you've ever seen before. Treat yourself, your friends, and your family to the Gazillion Bubble Show. The next generation at New World Stages. Visit telecharge.com or call 212-239-6200 today. You have to experience it to believe it.
WTBQ Weather.
Well, after a chilly start, we'll see a lot of sunshine today, and the high should get into the low and mid-50s. Tonight, clear skies, and with calm winds, we'll head down into the 20s. Then for tomorrow, look for sunshine, and after a chilly start, we'll get back into the mid-50s. And look for partly cloudy skies tomorrow night, still heading down below freezing as we get down to 30 or 31. And mostly sunny skies for Saturday, highs in the upper 50s to around 60. This is meteorologist Tony Salimo from the WTBQ Weather Center.
WTBQ.
Hello and welcome back to Marriage Conversation. This is the show that happens the first Thursday of each month here from 12 to 1 o'clock talking about your marriage with marriage coach Dr. Stephen Frew. Dr. Frew is a marriage coach, an author, and a speaker. He has written two books on marriage, With These Rings and From Marginal to Magnificent. And as I said, he can be heard here the first Thursday of each month talking about your marriage and how you can really make it grow and be happy. Dr. Frew is wonderful with marriage. He has this new way of looking at it that just puts so much good energy into it and takes all that negativity away. I mean, every time I listen to you, Dr. Frew, I feel excited about marriage as opposed to, oh gosh, there's that dread that we all kind of, because you look at it in such a wonderful way. And today we're talking about looking at your marriage through a different lens, through writing. Because when you write, Dr. Frew's guest today, Marcia Meyer, is a writer and she is an author. She's a teacher. She's an educator. And her life has been journalism and writing. And she's teaching us about how we can see our marriage differently through writing. And before we took a break, we were talking about writing from the point of view of your spouse. Now, as we said earlier, if you're just joining us, when you write about your marriage, you look at it in this different point of view. You take it out of the natural context it is in, which is the everyday stuff, and then get into the feelings of it and really where it is. And I suspect when you do this, you'll be very surprised, exceptionally surprised, Marcia, with your idea of writing it through your spouse's eyes. Because, I'm not sure we should do that and show our spouse, or should we? I mean, would it be a huge surprise for us to sit down and do that and read what we see from that?
Well, I think it would be very surprising.
Yes, I think so, yeah.
My own thing there, Marcia, would be I would encourage, if you and I were teaching this course together, I would be encouraging spouses to not show the stories initially that they wrote about from the point of view of the spouse, but rather to let those stories kind of marinate within them and then use that to initiate over dinner. You know, I've been thinking about something that happened quite a while ago, and you know, I've been thinking about that incident and talk about the incident from maybe from how it was for you, and start talking about that and watch what happens to the spouse once you're saying, I'm thinking about how you saw it.
Right. That's wonderful.
Because every single boring, chronic argument that I ever hear in my work, and I've heard thousands of them, ladies and gentlemen, every single one of them is from my point of view. Well, you didn't put the dishes in the sink. You don't care about me. You just put the... We do that silliness. And if we turn that around and say, wow, you must have been tired last night, that's magic.
Yeah, it is magic. Or, you know, when we went through that big, difficult time, now I see it through your eyes and how difficult that was for you. And, you know, or, you know, whatever issue that it is in a marriage, when you see it from the other person's point of view, I suspect there's a lot of empathy that we don't normally have because we're so used to blaming, right?
I'm going to tell a story that happened to me some time ago because it illustrates this point that Marcia brought up. Years ago, I was a pastor. I was a pastor for about 4 years, and I left the church with a bleeding ulcer, and I left because I was incompetent, really, emotionally, relationally, and I got in therapy to kind of fix my incompetence. But I studied for the ministry for about 8 years, so it was a big chunk of my life, and I had a lot of aspirations for it. So right after that, a couple years after I left the church, I was painting houses for a few years to find out where I want to do with the rest of my life. And then I finally got back in psychology and got a master's and a PhD in psychology. Well, during that period, when I was painting houses, my ex-wife got pregnant, and that firstborn son, died at birth of cord strangulation. Now, in the family, extended family, and friends that we had, everyone had not had advice that I couldn't relate to. He's in a better place, they would say, or God had a plan for him, or something like that. Probably listeners are familiar mm-hmm. with this kind of advice. And I'm sure the advice was well-intentioned. I'm not saying it was not well-intentioned, but what was happening was I couldn't listen to it. I didn't want to listen to it, and I couldn't hear it. I would turn my back and walk away. Now, we lived in a house in Pasadena that was directly across. The year was 1968, and the house was directly across the street from a house that was owned in, by the Sirhan family. Sirhan Bishara Sirhan had just the week earlier shot Robert Kennedy at the Ambassador Hotel.
Wow.
Our front bedroom, our master bedroom, faced their house, and because there were, you know, souvenir seekers and so forth, we had a police car out in front of their house 24/7 with its red light going around on the roof. So it was a time when it felt to me like death was all around me. I was struggling mightily just to keep my balance, and my wife came home from the hospital and was lying in bed, and a pastor that I had met only one time several months earlier, I called him, and he came to the house. He was a wonderful guy named Lowell Fairley. Lowell sat in a chair, a rocking chair, next to the bed and read. Didn't say anything, just read all day long. And as the sun was setting and looking out the window toward the west, the sky was red, and there's this red light flashing across the street. And he says, well, he cleared his throat and said, I better be going. And my wife looked at him and said, I feel so bad. I haven't done anything for you. I haven't fed you and I haven't taken care of you. All I've done is lay here and cry. And as he was getting up, he put his hand on her leg. And he said to her, God is crying too.
That's so
now,
sad.
That story was a informative story of my entire life, because I went very quickly from being angry with religion and various things that people were saying, and I was superior towards them. How could they be so shallow? My son's not in a better place, you know. I had all kinds of superior stuff going on and judgmental stuff, and I was in grief. But what Lowell Fairley said brought me right into a spiritual moment. And it was a moment of deep relief where he acknowledged my grief so simply and didn't put a whole lot of window dressing around it that I could feel the comfort in it. So that story then began to change how I talked to people about that experience, about my suffering, my wife's suffering, the loss of our son, but even more when they would say, well, you know, you were a pastor, do you blame God for it? Or do you think that God, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I would wind up saying, well, here's what I think. I think God is crying too. And that it wasn't a religious statement, if you know what I mean. It was a spiritual statement. It was a statement about the essence of the universe. So I think that within the stories that we all have, there are moments of true revelation where we can say, wow, I never thought you felt that way, or I never saw that argument the way through your eyes, or I never understood how scary that was for you, or I never understood how tired you were, or whatever it was. Stories can open that up from the inside out.
You know, Stephen, that's a wonderful story, and that really just makes everybody understand that heartfeltness. And my first question is, if your then wife could write that exact story or that exact time in her life, how would she have seen that time? What would she have felt about all that? How would she have seen it through your eyes just now? Would she have written that same thing? Probably not, right? She would not have
probably
seen
not.
That
yeah.
same exact
right.
situation the way you just saw it. She would have had most likely a whole different take to it, but she would have recognized with complete empathy how you saw it then. So that is a great example of a very trying time in someone's life and what you glean from it and what you learn from it. I'm sure she learned something entirely different. Marcia, when people do something like that, take a very similar scenario or the same scenario they both lived through and they write it down, is it often that they come with an entirely different story?
Well, absolutely. And in fact, that was just what I was thinking about as you were talking. How often we assume that we know what our partner or our husband or wife is thinking mm-hmm. without asking them. And Stephen, you're so right. It's all we have to do is ask. And sometimes we can ask by writing it, by, you know, sitting down and saying, I don't know how you feel about this, and writing it. How do you feel about this? And then sit down and say, you know, I know how I feel about this, but I'm not sure I know how you feel about this, and I want to know. And that's key. If you can let your partner know you care about what they think, mm-hmm. then you have a very strong basis for having conversation and communication. If you don't care what they think, if all you care about is how you feel about them,
right.
then you're never going to get anywhere with them.
Well, remember that song, Walk a Mile in My Shoes?
Right.
I think that's the basic thing. I would say that I was undoubtedly very insensitive to what my wife's point of view and all of that. Mm-hmm. And I was only concerned with how bad I felt.
Right.
So I think that that statement helped move me out of my complete self-absorption and into possibly being more empathic for where she was. I don't think I was very empathic, but I think that it moved me some. And I think you can move yourself. The trick of marriage is to see the world from your partner's eyes occasionally, so that we call that empathy, and so that you can actually hear them or actually imagine what it's like for them to be married to you, or imagine what it's like to, they have a story. You know, everyone has a story, and they have a lot of stories within the story. So when that man comes home and you're just focused on, well, he put his dirty boots in the, you know, whatever, and he didn't even say hello to me, if you can imagine he's got a story, and if you do that through starting to write, as Marcia is suggesting, you might be able to say, I'm going to write a story about a day in my husband's life. Mm.
Stephen, I got to interrupt you. We got to take a quick break. Let me also just say that for all those women that are angry when their husband comes home and puts his boots there or doesn't care that she's doing the dishwasher again, I think the whole point is that what she's saying to him is, you are not seeing life through my eyes. You're not seeing how I feel. And these are just small representations of how you are ignoring my feelings by doing things in a small way, don't you think? Okay,
both
we have
ways.
To take a break.
Absolutely.
Both ways. We have to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about that, and we're going to talk about an offer for you to write your story. So stay where you are, and we'll be back here with Marriage Conversations in just a few on WTBQ.
St. Anthony Community Hospital in Warwick is your community partner for all your family's health care needs. From our state-of-the-art birthing center to our senior living facilities, we provide a lifetime of care, one life at a time. St. Anthony is part of the Bon Secours Charity Health System. Along with Good Samaritan Hospital in Suffern, Bon Secours Community Hospital in Port Jervis, and Good Samaritan Home Care Agency. St. Anthony Community Hospital, proud to be your partner in health.
Hi, this is Dr. Nick Belasco, host of the Bon Secours Roundtable and director of the Bon Secours Concussion Management Program. If you're in the market for a new family medicine doctor, or if you have a sports injury, concussion, work injury, muscle, or joint problem, come see us at 1 Hetfield Lane, Suite 1B, Goshen, New York. You can reach us at 845-291-0966. That's 845-291-0966. Same-day appointments are available.
As part of our community, we feel a deep responsibility to support its vitality and promote programs that contribute to its health. But there is one issue that we feel very strongly about, and that is sustaining our environment. At Seeley and Derlin, we have instituted many programs to reduce, reuse, and recycle, including recycling all our paper, toner cartridges, and PC equipment. Now, as part of our product portfolio, we offer unique insurance protection for green energy options, such as solar panels, wind turbines, and more. We want to do more, but we need your help. We will soon be blogging and posting information on our website and Facebook page on what we all can do to reduce our impact on the environment. Send us suggestions, input, and feedback, and ask us questions about protecting your green investments. Let's work together to make our community and our world a better place. Seeley and Derlin Insurance, 800-562-2771. www.seeley-derlin.com.
planning a party and want to make sure that the entertainment really entertains your guests? Here's Back in the Day, the band that truly takes you and your guests back to the days of great rock and roll. They keep your party going. Specializing in weddings, birthday parties, anniversaries, holiday and corporate events, your party is always a hit with Back in the Day. Get Back in the Day. Check out their website, backinthedaymusic.net. That's backinthedaymusic.net. Contact Back in the Day today for information on their affordable rates and availability. Click on www.backinthedaymusic.net.
Hello and welcome back to Marriage Conversation, the show here that happens the first Thursday of each month with Dr. Stephen Frew. And today's guest of Dr. Frew is Marcia Meyer. She is an award-winning writer and they are both out in California. And we are talking today about writing your marriage down. And with all the insights we've had during this show about what we could glean from writing down our marriage is really, I think, very inspiring and very, it really makes me want to go and write all this stuff down, especially from my partner's point of view, because I do think we'd see things differently. And before we took a break, I said that we were going to talk about an offer, Dr. Frew, that you were talking about with you and Marcia. If somebody is a little nervous about writing this down, could you help them along the way?
Yeah, Marcia has some tips that she's going to give now. I want to remind the listeners that this is not Pulitzer Prize Day. I want you to send your stories to themarriageconversation.com, to Stephen@marriageconversation.com. And if you'd like to do that, and we'll pick one or two or maybe several and read them on the air. So we want to get this going. We want couples and individuals to talk about the stories within the story of their marriage. And Marcia will get you going on that. And check out her website. Check out her book. For those of you who want to do more than just write a story about your marriage, you want to get going and write that novel you've always wanted to write or that book you've always wanted to write, Marcia's a great, great, great resource and a very generous one. So make sure you get all her information as well. Marcia, how about those tips?
Yes, a couple of things. There's a couple of books that I want to suggest for people who want to write and I'm just not sure how to get started. One of them is by Natalie Goldberg called Writing Down the Bones, Freeing the Writer Within, and it's one of the best books I know of in terms of giving you ways to get into writing, giving you prompts, helping you think about. She suggests, as I mentioned earlier, journaling every single morning. And she calls it wild mind. You sit down and you write for 10 or 15 minutes and you don't pick up that pen from the paper and you just let whatever comes to mind come out into the writing. And it's amazing what will come out as you go through that process. So that's one way you can do it. Another really fabulous book is The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. And that also has tons and tons of tips on how to get into writing, prompts for you to write. And then one of the best tools for couples and actually you can use this with best friends and children, is to write a love letter. And there's a very specific form that was developed by a man named Chris Pringer. And I'm going to put this on my website, Stephen, and I'll be happy to, maybe we can put a link on your Marriage Conversation website as
Absolutely,
well.
Absolutely, yes.
But it has six parts, and it starts with anger and blame, and it gives you prompts. And so you write, I hate it when, I don't like it when, I'm fed up with, and then it goes into hurt and sadness. I feel sad, I feel hurt when you do this, I feel disappointed because, and all the way through fear and insecurity, guilt and responsibility, I'm sorry for, please forgive me for, into intention, I want, I need, and finally, love, forgiveness, and understanding. And you say, I love you because, thank you for, I understand that, finally, I forgive you for. And you use those prompts and you write them to that person that you want to share this with, and you ask them to do the same.
And then you
give each other the responses, and boy, that's a good way to find out how they feel about things. And you do find out that, boy, you've got very different perspectives on much of the sources of conflict within the relationship.
Mm. What's that called? What are you calling that?
It's called How to Write a Love Letter.
Okay.
And I'll put it on my website. I'll put it on my website today. And, Stephen, I'll send it to you, and we can put it on the Marriage Conversation website. And it's a wonderful tool.
Terrific. Thank you. That's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Okay, so now everybody...
Yeah, it's very powerful.
All these prompts that say I'm angry, I'm happy, you know, all these things kind of force us to bring out our feelings and our opinions. And when we write them down, does it make them very legitimate by writing something down? I mean, we often push things aside. You know, we don't pay attention to our feelings, or we say, oh, that doesn't count. Once we write something down, is it really kind of out there in the open and we can't ignore it? Does that one of the things, Stephen, I guess this question is for you, is that one of the things that is so helpful in talking about something or writing it down? Again, you don't have to be an expert to do this, but does it bring it out in the open to look at, and then you can say, I own this?
I'm forever telling people to get in touch with their twin. And what are the, and they say, well, you mean, you know, well, I said, there's a guy in me that has a conversation all the time, but that's not the guy you meet. You meet me on the street, and you say, hi, Stephen, how are you? I say, I'm fine, I'm good, yeah. The guy inside says, well, I've had a sinus infection for 7 days, and I feel like dog do, and, you know, I don't really want to stand and talk to you, and besides, it's not that interesting to talk to you. You know, last time all you did was want to go on about your grandchildren. But, you know, so what we are all about is trying to get that inner self and that inner conversation going on all the time in all of us, and even at night when we're dreaming. You want to get that up where we can see it and up where we can have access to it and have choices about it. So writing is probably the super highway to getting that up where you can see it. Because the
discovery, Stephen. So in that process, I think you'll find you discover how you feel about things that you didn't know before.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
a
wonderful
word.
That is a great word, discovery. And, you know, I want to remind everyone that this doesn't have to be a professional thing. You know, those of you, I can hear people saying, you know, gosh, I couldn't do this. Yes, you can do this. And Marcia's so right. The discovering yourself, discovering your partner, discovering how you feel, discovering how you can change, discovering maybe how you don't really feel is all so helpful to yourself, to your marriage, to your life. So it doesn't have to be on a professional basis, just on a real human basis.
I want to say to those people who feel like you just described that I am a high school dropout. I left home at 13. I went back. I worked in factories and on farms and did all kinds of stuff. I've never had a writing course. I earned my way through when I finished high school nights. I earned my own way through college. I earned my own way and so forth. So I'm an example of a person who is self-taught. And when I was writing the book about marriage, nobody was teaching me. I was trying to say, if I was going to describe marriage, how would I describe what I believe is a way that Lynn and I could actually live together without killing each other? And not only that, but we could actually love each other. So I would run it by her all the time. But in the process of writing, I was discovering, as Marcia's word, and that's why I'm saying this. I was discovering words and phrases and sentences would come out of me that I had no idea where they came from.
Well, let me tell our listeners that they can discover more about you at your website, marriageconversation.com. Marcia at your website, Marcia Meyer, M-E-I-E-R. Is it .com? I think it is .com, right? Yes, MarciaMeyer.com.
Yes,
and you can get all of this through Shannon's Corner on WTBQ, and you can also re-listen to this conversation if you missed part of it on all of our websites, on our website at WTBQ and at MarriageConversation.com, and probably at Marcia's as well. We do, unfortunately, have to wrap it up for today, but just one last minute. We got about 1 minute left if either of you want to say anything else before we wrap it up today.
Go ahead, Meyer.
Well, first of all, thank you. This has just been such a delightful time with both of you. I've enjoyed it immensely.
And, well, we thank you.
And Stephen, you mentioned earlier we were encouraging people to write their stories and send them in to you, and I would like to offer to two of those people that we choose. I don't know if, Stephen, you want to choose the best of the stories. A 15-minute consultation with me and a free copy of my book.
Okay.
Wonderful.
That is wonderful. Everybody, go on the websites, listen to that again, learn that again. Definitely take Marcia up on her very generous offer. Go to Stephen's website, marriageconversation.com, and learn more. I thank you so much for joining us all here on Marriage Conversation at WTBQ.